America votes in midterm elections, and foreign hackers seek to create chaos. This is Brief Before Impact. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining me. I am Matt Parker. We're talking another episode coming up with the November midterm elections. Both the House and Senate have seats up for availability between the Republicans and Democrats, and we're going to revisit a theme that we've talked about quite a bit in the past, especially from looking back to the 2020 presidential election. Now, before that, the 2016 presidential election. So much around the subject of election interference, fake news, social media bots, etc. We're going to really evaluate whether this is still a threat for American elections with the upcoming midterms coming up. But before we get into that, let me just take a quick ad break and then we'll get to work. All right, welcome back, everyone. First, I want to let you know I'm going to cover the groups and the goals of these hacking groups and what they're trying to achieve by interfering with American elections. In addition to that, we're going to cover how even just regular American citizens throughout our country, that the local communities have begun to take kind of election sanctity into their own hands, and looking at some recommendations coming from some think tanks out of D.C. of what American policy can reflect in order to further secure our elections. So with that being said, let me kind of give you a quick overview of what is to be expected for the upcoming midterm elections. I'm going to highlight some data coming out from a company called Mandiant. They are a very prominent cybersecurity company. And according to Mandiant, it is highly confident that foreign cyber spies will target U.S. election infrastructure, organizations, and individuals in the run-up to the November midterm elections. And based on recent activity by various threat groups, as well as previous election targeting, the security firm expects nation-state-backed gangs in Russia, China, and Iran will attempt to pull off cyber espionage against the U.S. government and election-related outfits. Quote, "We have tracked activity from groups associated with Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, and other nations targeting organizations and individuals related to elections in the United States and or other nations, with apparent goals ranging from information collection and establishing footholds or stealing data for later activity to one known case of a destructive attack against a critical election infrastructure," end quote. That's according to a Mandiant research team. Now, Mandiant's threat hunters have also said with moderate confidence that distributed denial of service, these are also known as DDoS, ransomware, and other disruptive or destructive attacks will impact elections. However, amid the likely cyber espionage, misinformation campaigns, and possible ransomware infections, there's a silver lining when it comes to the mechanics of voting itself. Quote, "We believe notable compromises of actual voting devices or other activity impacting the integrity of votes is unlikely," the end quote, the researchers report. But that doesn't mean that there are some miscreants that are certainly trying. And what they're pointing out here is actual voting devices, the physical machines that you go to and you put in the card or whatever your local county is using to tally your vote, those physical devices themselves, according to Mandiant's research, is really unlikely to be affected. Even down to the very integrity of your vote as the individual will unlikely to be impacted by this kind of election interference. And they continue on that in terms of election misinformation, Russia's Internet Research Agency will likely promote right-wing narratives related to the 2022 midterms as they did in the lead-up to 2016 and 2020 presidential elections. Now, Mandiant's threat intel has observed two phony accounts posting on Twitter and other sites claiming to be editors at a Kremlin-linked pseudo-news organization called Newsroom for American and European-based citizens. Their favored topics include the midterm elections, the U.S. economy, the energy prices, as well as Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Additionally, Beijing-backed Dragon Bridge, which operates 72 fake news websites and social media accounts pushing pro-China propaganda and criticizing America and its allies, has already pivoted to election-related topics. Quote, utilizing a tactic first observed during Dragon Bridge messaging targeting Western rare earths mining companies, some accounts posted comments using first-person pronouns to feign concern, implying that they were American, end quote. So these mandiant threat researchers has also observed a pro-Iran distinguished impersonator influence campaign during the 2018 midterms, and it expects to see similar activity in this election cycle. In this case, the operation used faked accounts impersonating U.S. political candidates to push false narratives. The campaign also managed to get letters, blogs, and guest columns published in legit U.S. news outlets and create fake journalist personas to interview real people expressing views that lined up with Iranian interest. So based upon the research that Manny has conducted, they're concluding that the actual device where you're making your vote is likely to be impacted. However, it's the narratives building up to the elections. And as you can imagine, you're trying to decide as a voter who you want to go and give your support to on election day. So, like a good citizen, you're consuming news, you're reading different articles, you're even checking out social media posts to see what even your colleagues, the folks that you work with, your friends and family, what they're saying about the elections. Here is where election interference really comes into play from America's adversaries. It's the dominant and controlling of a narrative. How can they create a trend into one side or the other? For a candidate, against a candidate, or just creating a lack of cohesion surrounding the American election process. And this relates to what we'll talk about in terms of these groups and what they're trying to achieve and what, in fact, their actual goals are. Let me outline the actual groups that the cybersecurity community here in the United States has outlined of who these are, what their names are, what they're trying to achieve. So the four nation-state sponsored gangs, and when I say nation-state sponsored, think about it in this context. You are a hacker and you work for America on behalf of their foreign policy. Therefore, you are a nation-state sponsored hacker. You are sponsored by the federal government. That's what I'm trying to say by describing them this way. Often we think in terms of hacking, it's like this dark world with guys wearing hoodies in some basement somewhere. And that's certainly true. However, in what I'm talking about today, there are hacker groups around the world, living and working in different countries, that you would almost probably think of as like a very much a traditional office setting. What they're doing, though, is actually hacking American systems, and they're paying for their effort, being paid by their effort for their efforts by the nation state which they reside. Say for in Russia or Iran or North Korea in that example, I'll use Russia just as an anecdote. Say the Russian government decides they want to affect 10 House of Representatives seat elections upcoming November, for the upcoming November elections. So they task out a number of their hackers at, you know, group XYZ to focus on those elections. They're going to pay for it. They're going to write them a check and do it. That's what nation state sponsored means. So when we're looking at the nation state sponsored groups that are most likely to target this 2022 midterm elections, a couple of groups called China. China's has the APT-41 and APT-31. Russia has a group, APT-29, and then a newly named group, APT-42. And that latter group, the 42, Mandiant's threat researchers earlier this week just linked that group to Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is a terrorist group that has plotted to murder U.S. citizens, including even former National Security Advisor John Bolton. So you can quickly see how these groups are tied not only to their own nation states' foreign foreign policy objectives, but as well as coordinating between each other just for the pure purpose of affecting the results of America's electoral process. Continuing on, APT-41, they're also known as Barium, Wicked Panda, and Wicked Spider. And they all have ties to the Chinese Ministry of State Security. While this group, APT-31, aka Judgment Panda or Zirconium, has also been linked to the Chinese government by security researchers. And lastly, APT-29, which Microsoft has tracked as a Nobelium and everyone calls Cozy Bear, has been attributed to Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service. It's probably best known for compromising the Democratic National Committee before the 2016 election, as well as the infamous SolarWinds supply chain attack. Additionally, Mandiant labeled a handful of other groups from these three nations as activity possible around elections. Direct quote, however, this list should not be viewed as comprehensive. It is possible that additional known actors or previously unobserved groups will also engage in relevant cyber threat activity, according to the research. So we've got the names of the groups, which countries they're operating for, and including just the last couple of groups here, out of one in particular I wanted to highlight, coming from North Korea. It's called Lazarus. They've been operating for about more than 10 years. It's actually behind the infamous cyber incidences, such as the attack on Sony Pictures in 2014, if you remember reading about that in the news. Also, the spread of a WannaCry ransomware in 2017. Now, unlike other state actors, Lazarus is actually highly financially motivated and attempts to boost the feeble North Korean economy. So due to the government support and instigation, North Korean threat actors face no risk of prosecution in their own home country. On the contrary, it's therefore very likely that Lazarus Group is going to continue to operate for years to come. And this is, I thought, particularly fascinating when you compare the different countries and their election interference efforts, or just their hacking efforts altogether, that are causing such trouble for the American economy and the American electoral system. It's in the case of like China, Iran, Russia, they're trying to affect elections for, you know, a foreign policy objective. Comparing that to North Korea, who is trying to actually do this for economic gain, whether they can steal data, take advantage of a data leak, it's all in regards of how can they bring more money to their economy, because frankly, they're doing so poorly. So those are the groups, and overall, if you had to see the common thread between all these different nation-state hacking groups, why they're targeting America in our elections, I think essentially that they want to undermine American interest, American prosperity. Certainly, as a population, our desire, our will to vote, and even our belief in just the sanctity and security of our elections. If they can undermine these things, they can weaken America. Even if it's slowly, you know, chip by chip, that is essentially their goal. These individual groups might not coordinate those efforts, but they're all targeted at the same thing. They're almost allied in that effort together. And as I mentioned at the beginning, especially from the 2016 and 2020 elections, the controversy surrounding the authenticity of some electoral processes in states, local citizens have begun taking more active role into ensuring the electoral process. I want to list off four here for you, just to give you an example of what around the country we're seeing. For example, volunteers in Tarrant County, Texas, are manually reviewing more than 300,000 ballots from the state's 2020 Republican primary election. There's no evidence of fraud or that the results were inaccurate in any way, but the ballots recently became open to public inspection, and the group just wants to see for themselves. Now, secondly, volunteers in Colorado are actually going door to door checking voter registrations to see whether people really voted in the last election. That's according to NPR reporting. In Georgia, citizens are relying on a new provision in Georgia law that allows any Georgian to bring an unlimited number of voter challenges. That's according to Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And lastly, Kansas is set to have a very high-stakes ballot referendum to remove the right to an abortion for the state's constitution. Supporters of the amendment are already objecting to the presence of absentee ballot drop boxes in one of their counties. So this reflects, in my mind, a shift in the population's attitude to electoral sanctity and ensuring the security of that process. And I think this is actually encouraging. It doesn't diminish the efforts of hacking groups around the globe and what they're trying to achieve here in the United States. However, it does tell me that just regular everyday citizens in our country aren't willing just to put the process in the hands of another individual, another group to ensure that our elections are safe and secure. Now they're getting skin in the game. They're saying, we will check this out ourselves, which I think is quite admirable, and especially in the light of the last few years and such challenging political positions for our country, especially in the lack of cohesion. So this kind of brings us to conclusion that yes, 2022 midterm elections are still and will continue to be under threat of electoral interference from hacking groups around the world, nation state sponsored groups as well. Their goals to really to undermine the process of the American democracy and every national election we have, and how it can bend or manipulate that process. I want to close out with a handful of recommendations. These are actually coming from the Center of American Progress. It's just a nonpartisan policy think tank there in D.C. And they list out 9 different recommendations. These are things that they believe, if addressed, could eradicate at least some of the most serious vulnerabilities in America's election infrastructure. Let me read these off. So, 1, requiring voter-verified paper ballots or records for every vote cast. 2, replace old voting machines. 3, conduct robust post-election audits to confirm election outcomes. 4, update and secure outdated voter registration systems and e-poll books. 5, require minimum cybersecurity standards for voter registration systems and other pieces of voting infrastructure. 6, perform mandatory pre-election testing on all voting machines, as well as continuous vulnerability analysis. 7, expand threat information sharing, including comprehensive threat assessments, accompanied by mandatory reporting requirements. 8, elevate coordination between states and federal agencies on election security, including real-time notification of security breaches and threats. Lastly, provide federal funding for updating election infrastructure. If you look at each of these recommendations, to me, these are all fairly straightforward, very nonpartisan. It doesn't address one Democratic or one Republican party interest, rather the electoral process itself. Now we can continue to ensure, to strengthen that, and to eliminate whatever vulnerabilities may exist. So let me close out with just a couple of thoughts. Personally, as much as it may be irritating to have our elections interfered with, I don't think we, or at least myself, I'm not going to allow that to deter, 1, my inspiration, my desire to vote, to be a part of the political process, or 2, be intimidated by these other groups who are doing this. At the end of the day, powers have always competed for resources, for influence, for positioning. And that has gone through a number of different phases and styles over the centuries. Today, the most effective weapon almost can be a computer versus a gun. Obviously, it doesn't have that same kind of kinetic damage as a gun, but a computer or a cyber attack can be devastating to an economy, can be devastating to a political process, which by as a natural consequence can weaken your enemy. So I'm encouraged when I read these stories of citizens around the country taking more of an active role in the political process and ensuring the confidence they have in their electoral systems. Thank you for tuning in. I hope with the upcoming elections, you will participate, whatever party you may align with, just so we can ensure to our enemies that despite their interference, that we will not be deterred to continue this tremendous American experiment in democracy. Thanks for tuning in. As always, I hope you're picking up what I'm putting down. I am Matt Parker, and this is Brief Before Impact.